Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Tiki and Tierney on The Fan. Tiki Barber.
They have every resource to make every move that they need to win a championship. They're just unwilling to do so as of late. It puts the Yankee fan in an opinion position to say, get rid of Judge, which sounds asinine. And to me, it is asinine, but I can understand why fans feel that way.
Brandon Tierney.
You look at what Zach was supposed to be versus what he looks like now. And then you incorporate the guy who might be a superstar. I know that sounds crazy, but the early flashes are favorable. It is. This is craziness, really.
Tiki and Tierney on The Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
All righty, 10:02 on The Fan. What's going on, everybody? How are we today? As we reconvene here on the Tiki and Tierney Show. Now, Tiki, I told you yesterday, right, that there's an expiration date on the blind, for lack of a better word, euphoria within the Yankee fan base toward the Aaron Judge re-signing. Mm-hmm. That it would be processed and incredibly embraced and everybody's pumped up and then it's right back down to business. Like, when do things get back to being the way they used to be? And I think you and I are on a little different sides of the fence here. I personally believe this, that there has been an awakening within Hal Steinbrenner. I think the personal touch within the negotiations with Judge made sure he called them up, cash step aside. I'm getting this deal done. Aaron, do you want to be a Yankee? Yes, but I need a ninth year. Boom. There's your ninth year. I thought then the deal was consummated. I think that that was the first step of Hal Steinbrenner realizing that it's got to be go time here. I mean, you look around baseball and not just the Astros, but the Padres and the Braves and the Dodgers and the Phillies all loading up, right? We'll see what the Mets have in store. And even if Met fans aren't enthralled with the offseason so far, and I get why you're not, Your owner still is on the hook for almost $300 million right now, so he's spending money. I think there are a series of moves coming. I think the Yankees are ready to once again dive back into the deep end of the pool. I think it's go time.
Well, I mean, it's coming. Obviously, it's go time because, as we talked about many times, you can't run out the same team just because you re-signed Aaron Judge, which is great. You had to keep him. He's your star. He's trending towards greatness, at least after last season and an MVP. It could have been a second one, but he's been great, and you knew you had to re-sign him. But as we all know, putting Aaron Judge back on the same team doesn't make you a World Series contender. Now, we had a call yesterday that was really interesting. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm happy with the Yankees just getting to the postseason and getting to the ALCS. Well, who the hell ever says that? What kind of fan says that?
I'll tell you, people who are now conditioned, and that's the minority, you know that.
But yeah, of course it is.
I know that. But people who are now conditioned to accept what the Yankees have given us the last couple of years, lose to the same team, lose in the same manner. Well, that's over.
I'm going to throw back what always say. It doesn't change until it changes.
That's true.
And so the Yankees used to be a certain way. Then they changed significantly where they didn't want to spend money, at least not prudently spend money. And now we're stuck in this little, I don't know, this little series of years where they're not spending money well and not willing to go significantly over the luxury tax. Until that changes, I don't know how you can believe that it will. Because, look, I know that what needs to be done. I think everybody knows what needs to be done. Hell, I think even Brian Cashman knows what needs to be done. It's a question of actually doing it, of actually cutting bait with dead weight. It's going out and spending that extra $120 million or whatever it may be on the pieces that fill out the puzzle. It's giving these young kids a chance and bringing them up. And hell, if they're good enough, signing them early, like the Braves do, like some of these other squads, like San Diego does, right? We know what needs to be done. I just don't have faith that the Yankees are actually going to do it.
Okay, aside from the most recent history that they have not done it, is there another reason why you think they won't do it?
No, just simply money.
That's it, just reacting
simply
to
money.
What? Okay.
Simply I mean, what else could I lean on?
I don't know.
I don't know Hal Steinbrenner. I don't know Brian Cashman. I don't know, you know, how dialed in they are to the debts that they have or the bills that come due come January, whatever the hell it is that we heard last season. I don't know any of that stuff, but I know what they repeatedly have done over the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, you know what I know? I know what a lifeless playoff venue feels like because I was there. All right, I was at game 3 against the Astros, and it was pathetic. It was dead. It was over immediately.
How full was it?
It was pretty full. It never feels the way the old stadium felt. So that's always my barometer. Mm-hmm. You know, the 96 run, and I've told you a million times, I was there when we clinched against the Braves game 6. It was wild. And then everything that went down, 98, 99, Subway Series. Those days are over. The stadium's different. The way it's built, it's different. You know, the overhang in right field is different. It's less threatening, less intimidating. The disparity in terms of money spent has changed. Mm-hmm. And listen, I think this. I think the reason, here's why I think the Yankees are about to change course and become far more aggressive than they've been the last 6, 7 years, whatever it is. Because baseball's changed. Baseball has changed. All you have to do is go back and look at the payrolls from, say, you know, not the mid-90s, but late 90s up until about slightly past the 2009 point. And there were, you know, 4 teams that would spend money, and then everybody else was just listless and really not incredibly engaged and had no chance to sign these free agents. I mean, we're in a different world. And I believe that, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, we've been critical. We want a little more energy. We want a little more accountability for these postseason ousters. And he doesn't provide what we got so viscerally from his dad. But I think at the end of the day, he is a smart businessman. And he's looking around and he's saying, okay, I need to preemptively address this. Because if last October, and again, being there is different than watching on TV, it was dead. And it was dead on TV. It was even more dead, if that's possible. It was really dead in the stadium. He's no dummy, and you feel it. And I think that he knows it's time to change things up. And I'm on the record, man. Listen, when you do, how many hours a week do we talk? What is it, 20 hours a week, right?
Just 5 days, yes.
Okay, 20 hours a week.
4 hours.
When you talk 20 hours a week, I think invariably, you're going to make predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Some stick, some are erroneous, some are ridiculous, some are amazing. All right, at the end of the day, it's really a conversation. It's fun. It's all that stuff, right? But put me on the record. Rodon is coming. He's coming. I think he's coming today.
Now, what makes you think that?
Because I know that the Yankees know that they need him. Because without him, they will win nothing. So they need a lefty who's got big stones, got a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, and he's got good stuff. They know that. You know, to go through these lineups, to get to the war, they know it. They know they need a left fielder. And, all right, you didn't get Yoshida, that's fine. Then it's going to be Benintendi or Reynolds. That's coming. They're making a trade with the Pirates with their signing Benintendi. And if they whiff on that, they're going to sign Nimmo. Like, there is not an ounce, and this is the first time I felt like this in a long time, Teak. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been howling at the moon about the way the Yankees have not done business the way that I think, and many with me think they need to do business. It's just in my gut, and it's not just about Judge. It's just the game has changed. They've got the money. I think they've heard us speak. The Yankees never had to really listen to us. I think they've listened the last couple of months.
The reason I ask about what the playoff game was like last year is because, and again, you're right, the stadium is it's vastly different than it used to be. It's just a different energy. It's not dissimilar, even though it's a very different conversation from old Giant Stadium to MetLife. A lot of that was just like physically, you felt tighter to the field at MetLife Stadium.
Same with the old Yankee Stadium, true, too, especially in right field.
Like,
yeah.
Even the upper deck, you felt like you were still on the field.
Yeah, the new stadium's
now
much more cavernous.
Like, it's like you're a mile away when you're in the upper deck because of how wide the stadium. So just aesthetically, it's different. But the reason I ask is because, hey, if the Yankees are filling the new Yankee Stadium, even when you kind of felt like it was hopeless. You know what I mean? It was just, it didn't feel like they really had a chance against the Astros. As much as we wanted to talk our way into saying, yeah, they're going to find a way. You kind of just knew. It's like, yeah, they're not going to get it done. But people went anyways. So until there's a discernible apathy, I can't see Hal Steinbrenner saying, we need to do X, Y, and Z to win because otherwise people aren't coming.
It's an interesting point. It's a good point, but I would have to point this out to you. I think I put quotes around the word apathy. That's a very interesting word. And I know what you mean.
But I'm not saying they're apathetic.
No, I know you're not.
But I'm saying it would take apathy.
I got you. But I think the level of apathy that would infiltrate the Yankees would be far different from the general, more conventional use of the word apathy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you can still have 40,000 people there, and the sound and the belief and the energy is trending toward apathetic, but there's 40,000 people breathing in the building, but you know it's not the same.
What game was it that we went to for Judge's Chambers?
That was the Rays game.
The Rays game.
Yeah.
It felt apathetic. It felt apathetic.
I was going to take a nap.
It felt like nobody cared.
It was terrible.
What was happening?
No, I hear you.
It was, I mean, our section, because Arozarena was out in left field, engaging with the fans, and I mean, I kind of enjoyed him.
Yeah, he kept us awake.
It might have been the most enjoyable thing about that game.
Uh-huh. How bad was that night? It was terrible.
It was just dead in the stadium.
I agree with you.
It was just dead.
So you're kind of making my point. But apathy's already trickled in a little bit. That's the Rays. Okay, that's one of your rivals.
But there's apathy and people are still going. What happens when there's apathy and they stop going? That's when change happens. And I don't know if that's anywhere near where the Yankee fan is.
877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tower studio. Friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I said this to Tiki yesterday. We get these calls coming up. Again, I think the Yankees are motivated. I think they finally woke up out of this slumber that they've been, in the last couple of off seasons here, particularly ownership. And I think it's about to change, and we'll see ultimately who's right or wrong. But I said to Tiki, think about how close we were to this. 39 degrees on March 30th, 12, 13 mile per hour chilly wind whipping through the stadium. Me and you and the rest of the shows, Carton Roberts, I don't know if the morning show will be out there only because of the time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Out at the Hard Rock doing the show. Aaron Judge is batting second for the Giants. The Yankees don't pivot and bring in Turner. Rodon's like, they don't have Judge. I'm not coming here. I'm not going to win anything. We were perilously close to one of the most depressing chapters in Yankee history. That has been averted. And now it's my belief that we're about to enter, hopefully, in terms of recent memory, one of the more energized chapters in baseball history. I think Cal's about to get nuts. 877-337-6666. We got you on the Fan until 2. Obviously, Jets and Giants, we're going heavy on them today as well. It is a Thursday, so we'll start to ramp up the football stuff. We'll get to you calls. Get us on Twitter as well, at Tiki and Tierney, WFAN. And Mets, what are we doing out there in Queens? We've got to get to that as well, which we will. Tiki and Tierney right here on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
I got a question for everybody, and I think that this will be, I think this is a part of what the Yanks are wrestling with right now. So, it's easy to say trade Gleyber Torres, which I've said many times. Yes. I'm prepared to move on from Gleyber Torres. I've seen enough. He's solid, but he's too streaky, whatever. All right?
Yeah, he could be more valuable elsewhere and more valuable for assets for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it was a year ago, I think you entice a team like the Pirates or whomever a little bit more, but he hits free agency in 2025. Does anybody, even if you like Gleyber Torres, anybody want to give Gleyber Torres $120 million?
No.
Exactly.
And so
trade him.
Just like if you have an expiring contract for whoever, and he's a good enough player, but you're not going to pay him, go get value for him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And I'm also saying, I think Yankee fans are going to be very happy next couple of days. Now, there's also that that element of just like San Diego keeps going nuts with all these offers. Who knows?
But San Diego feels like they're just throwing money just to throw it.
Well, they are, which is why as much as I think Rodon's coming here, you never know. Because San Diego or some other Cavalier offer, some outlier team, I mean, maybe Toronto sits there and says, yo, I mean, we don't have to worry about the Red Sox or the Orioles yet. Mm-hmm. And the Red Sox, I don't care what they did with Yoshida, Red Sox stink. So they're probably saying to themselves, can we get our pennies together and find a way to bolster our rotation even more? You just don't know. But I just think, Teak, in the next 2 days or so, I think Aaron's the first, most vital, most important domino. Aaron Judge, of course. And now I think that Hal finally heard the boos when he was on the field, saw some of the empty seats, the drab nature in the stadium. What's up, Teak?
Just answer, because I don't know. I know what football meetings are like. It's owners, it's GMs, it's everybody. Like, everybody goes.
Mm-hmm.
How was in Italy?
He was in Italy.
So he called Aaron Judge from Italy, which is great. Maybe that's why the timing happened the way that the timing happened. Nah. Because it was, I don't know,
different time.
6 hours later.
We got lucky?
Because we were, no, seriously.
Good thing he wasn't in Australia. We would have missed the call.
Yesterday we were asking, you know, this happened at 9 in the morning? Mm-hmm. Like, or 8:30 in the morning, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's when Gio said it. I think it was 8:30.
That's
8:30 on the button.
So that makes sense why it would have happened. But why was he not at the owner's meeting?
The winter's meeting. Cashman's his guy.
The owners not usually go?
No, there's some owners there. It's the GMs making the deals. Listen, the GMs have the financial parameters from ownership. If there's something that might exceed that, then obviously they go to ownership and say, hey, listen, this unexpectedly developed. Mm-hmm. We might be able to acquire this guy.
Yeah. I'm asking out of curiosity.
Yeah, I don't need Hal to be there. Just cut the checks.
Because football, the owners are there like they're running the business.
It's different. There's some owners there, but as long as Cash and the Yankee, you know, and obviously same with Billy Epler for the Mets. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, that's it doesn't matter. The deal got done, so it is what it is. I just thought it was funny.
He's from Italy, right? Can you imagine? But think about this now before we get to these calls. Like, if that deal was not consummated, mm-hmm. now we're sitting here saying, this guy's in Italy and Judge is in San Francisco. Think about the different reaction
there. Couldn't get sign off from the owner because he was on some yacht.
Didn't have service. jeez. All right, let's get to the calls here. 877-337-6666. Middletown, Tony, first up on this Thursday on the Fan, Teaky and Tierney. What up, Tone?
What's up, Tone?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
All's good.
Real quick, two quick points. The first, you know, back in the day, you know, a couple months ago, Tierney, not to disparage anything, but, you know, you weren't confident in Cashman's ability to rebuild this team, right?
And yes, correct.
I just look at it, I was like, well, maybe he's not, you know, but I look at the moves he's made, right? And it's just like being up to bat, you know? I mean, the man took some good cuts, you know what I'm saying? He took some good swings, but they just happened to miss. But, you know, like Donaldson and, you know, that guy Montas and all that. And, you know, the guy that went to, you know, the pitcher we missed out on with the Dreads or whatever.
Castillo.
We tried to make some moves. They just didn't work out. My problem with the Yankees is it's like in football, they don't make any in-game adjustments or pre-game adjustments. When you're just swinging for the fences and you don't have a coach or a coaching staff to say, hey, look, we got to change our approach at the plate, okay, to put the bat on the ball and you know, make some contact. So I don't really think it's like Cashman. I think it's more, you know, coaching philosophy. You can't just let these guys run up to bat and striking out every time without – changing the philosophy, you know, that's insane.
Well, it's an interesting, Tony, here's the thing. I know what you're saying, right? Let's take the football comparison for a second. And you come out second half, things are totally different. An NFL offense, I'm going to say from an offensive point of view where the adjustments are made, not defensively. From an offensive point of view, an NFL offense is equally equipped to pass and run. Now, you might be a little stronger in pass protection, you might be a little bit better run blocking, blah, 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 but those are skills that every NFL offense has. In baseball, the moment you're drafted, there's really an organizational edict here in terms of approach and hitting philosophy. And if you're not equipped, whether it's hitting the other way or, you know, getting deep in the count or hunting walks or, you know, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. you can't, I know what you mean, but it's not realistic to, in the middle of a season, tell Giancarlo Stanton or tell whomever, change how you hit.
Yeah.
That is just unrealistic.
Yeah, the parallel would be, you know, the conversation we've had about the fumbling issues that took months. That wasn't like, hey, next week, carry the ball differently. It takes a long time. If that's the football equivalent. Baseball has got to be.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
15 times harder because of the mechanics of swinging or the mechanics of your approach. It's just it's so nuanced and complicated for baseball, and it's not just a physical thing. It's a mental thing as well in baseball. Yeah, there's just no way you can do that in the middle of the season.
It's an entire approach, and it's, number one, it's a mental recalibration, and it's a mechanical overhaul. Mm-hmm. And that's just not realistic. It's just not. 877-337-6666. Staten Island, Chris is on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show.
Thank you, man.
I have one question. Let's say the Yankees go out there, we get a big-name pitcher, and we get another outfielder. Do you think Hal still has those deep pockets next year to maybe go after Ohtani and pair him and Judge together?
Listen, this is where the Yankees need to be ultra-creative. And yes, I know he's got a no-trade, but why can't you find a way to unload Stanton in the next year? I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think that's and aren't the Marlins still paying $10 million off his contract?
I think it's $30 million.
And Donaldson is gone next year too, isn't he?
Yes.
So we'll have the money. So why can't we go after him and pair him with Judge for the next 9 years?
Chris, they could. And here's the thing. The way you just worded that, and I know that you know this, but I want to point this out. Because this happens a lot, and it's starting to bother me. Chris just said, well, the Yankees will have the money when this... The Yankees always have the money.
Yeah.
Can we please establish that one common ground? This is not the Oakland A's revenue stream where, well, if they don't retain Giambi, they can then do X, Y, and Z. The Yankees have more money than anybody. It's whether or not they decide to spend it and hit the extra luxury taxes.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, at the end of the day,
they got
too, if they didn't, because the value of the franchise is so high, they could get the money. It's not even about the
number
money.
Number one in baseball, $6.1 billion.
It's not even about the money. It's about the desire to spend the money. And as we have said many times, they don't want to give resources to the other teams, particularly in their division.
Yeah.
And it's why San Diego is spending so much money, because the Giants and the Dodgers are already spending a ton of money.
That's a beast.
Doesn't matter if you go, you know, $20 million over the luxury tax and you got to give 8 or 5 to another team. It's not helping them, really, at least not on the margins. I think the difference with the Yankees is it's desire. And as you've been saying for a couple days now, Hal hates getting booed, clearly. And they hate losing the same way every single year to the same team.
Whoa. We hate losing the same way. If they truly hate losing the same way, they'll do something about it.
That's what we're hoping for, Teak. That's what you're hoping for.
Hey, it's a new day for the Yankees. I'll tell you one thing that's a little disappointing. If I can pull my man Hoff in for a sec, who we missed for a couple days, Mr. Hoff. You know, I know the Mets payroll is high, but I was really hoping, like, the Mets would do some and Verlander's a good start. Do some crazy stuff this offseason, because let's face it, the more the Mets do, the more the Yankees will have to do.
Why?
Because it's just a reactionary thing.
I see.
Just the way it goes.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, I thought Cohen would be. And again, I know he's spending money. I get that. You know, the Quintana deal, you know, in 2 years, and he's solid. You know, he's. I think Taiwan Walker's a little bit better, but, you know, I just thought that Cohen would. I thought he'd be going bonkers by now. Yeah,
well,
didn't you think that?
But Hoff has said this, and I know you'll reiterate this, Hoff, that you're waiting for Ohtani. I mean, the last caller said Ohtani to the Yankees, but that's not ever happening.
So let's punt on the season with two 40-year-olds top of the rotation.
I agree. But Ohtani's not coming to the Yankees because he does not play the field. He's played the field, I think, five times in the last 4 years.
Yeah, you get the eighth for the Yankees. That's fine.
But what are you doing with Giancarlo Stanton?
Get rid of him.
That's easier said than done. Especially with the no-trade clause he has.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're going to bring Ohtani to the Yankees, Stanton's like, well, hell, we can win a World Series. I'm not going anywhere.
Maybe. Yes, Huff.
Yeah. I don't want Ohtani, but I don't want to wait for Ohtani. I do want to make a bigger splash. I think there are more needs. And I know that a lot of people give me slack recently because I've been too negative, but I don't see the big picture for this year. For 2023, I'm missing something.
By the way, Hoff, you can get Ohtani this year.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't, Tiki. Not with how they're approaching it. Their approach is we're bringing back the same team. We'll bring back Brandon Nimmo and maybe get another loose end bat. I don't really know. But then they're going to focus on the prospects.
Okay.
And if the prospects...
That's what you're saying. But
no, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, but I think to Tiki's point, there's always a way to entice somebody to move off that.
Yeah.
If they really want, if Cohen goes to Billy today and says, I don't care what it takes, call up your old team and get that cat in Queens.
Yeah, because we know
the
he's
Angels
not
would be enticed
okay,
to make that deal.
But so just to go a little deeper, this is why I'm concerned. In 2024, if you've traded now Alvarez and Beatty, because I'm assuming those two or Vientos or whatever have to go. You're not going to be able to, we're going to keep these prospects.
You got to give up studs.
Right. We don't have a big farm system. So you trade away those guys for Ohtani. You have not signed Alonso yet. You have not signed McNeil yet. Escobar's off the books. Go through the list. The only guy that's on the books is Lindor and Marte's done in 25. You have no real roster. So who we have? It's Ohtani and who?
Yeah,
and Lindor?
But the point
is, for this year, it'll be Alonso, Lindor, it'll be everybody.
But
for this year.
I'm saying the big
Scherzer,
picture.
Scherzer, Verlander.
So you have 1 year. I think Alonso's not going.
You know,
look
Alonso's
at the Angels, how far they tanked. That's my concern. I look at the big picture. You want to get Ohtani in 24? Great. Look, what are we doing this year to unpack
the Angels? But you know why the Angels have been where they've been? They have no pitching. How many times do we have Mike Socia on our show?
They have Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, now they do.
They have the best player in baseball.
You can't have one great pitcher.
Need a staff.
You know what I mean? You need a staff.
Yeah.
Didn't they have Noah Syndergaard last year for a little bit?
Noah.
He was scared to pitch in Queens.
So think about
DeGrom's going
to
do.
And I'm not trying to be, tool here and really trying to dig it to the Mets right now, but you have to look at their pitching staff is average age of 37 and a half. This is not a long-term approach. They haven't built up any pitchers. So there's a lot of concerns there as far as going forward with this team.
There should be some concerns. I'm not saying there shouldn't be, no doubt. But I do think if you wanted Ohtani now.
You're really motivated.
Yeah, you can't force somebody to marry you. We said that a million times with the judge when we thought he might go back to San Francisco. But you can give somebody a 3-carat ring and give them something to contemplate. And the Mets have a ton of prospects. Like, if they want Ohtani, they can at least trigger some serious thought on the part of the Angels.
Be the bull. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
I don't want to scare anybody, but are we actually in the process of maybe the Knicks mattering a little bit here, Mr. Barber? Last couple of times out playing some defense all of a sudden. Restructuring the rotation. You've been following this?
A little bit.
Quentin Grimes getting his run. Deuce getting some burn. Fournier staple to the bench. Trades coming, perhaps. All right.
Meanwhile, the Nets on the other side of the river.
Why do you always transition to them so quickly? I'm not done talking about the team that matters.
Fourth. The Nets are fourth in the East right now.
Yeah, they're playing well.
They're 12-7 since Jacques Vaughn took over.
Listen, it was a matter of time before they were going to get hot. Kyrie was really good last night.
Two superstars.
Yep.
And some other good role players.
Yeah.
I mean, they were underperforming grossly.
No question.
But the
Knicks,
you're right, have finally got. They were trending to well below 500. Now they're kind of trending back towards 500.
What, they're 12-13 now, right?
Yeah, they're basically like a game out of fifth.
So, but not even that. Listen, we're not doing a lot of Knicks here. Right. But not even that. I like the fact the last two games they played real defense. Mm-hmm. They've held opponents. So it was the Cavaliers. And then obviously last night in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of a different look. And finally, maybe Fibs is getting the message. Kind of, you got to start mixing some things up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now there's a lot of smoke.
You
and we'll see if it comes to fruition.
You cannot play those that are indifferent to playing defense.
That's right. Very profound.
But that's what they've been doing.
Gentlemen, you cannot play for me if you are indifferent to defensive assignments, to defensive engagement. We will not tolerate that sort of defensive indifference.
I mean, that was an ass whooping.
Oh, yeah,
yesterday.
They smoked them, dude.
Yeah.
They jumped on them. They smoked them. They suffocated them. I love it. All right, but we're talking about the Yanks and obviously the Mets as well. Now, you know, Hoff was off for a couple days. I know the kiddos were sick, so good to have him back. And boy, he was one grump the day before he left us, understandably with the DeGrom stuff. But, man, I mean, basically denigrating Verlander, saying Verlander is a bum and he doesn't even want him and all that stuff. And you were down. Are you at least back to a place where we can like you again? And we didn't like you
for
a day.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, we want to love you, but we didn't like you the other day. Very ornery.
I never said Verlander was a bum. I just was back to my point of, Alonzo McNeil, deals need to be done. I don't know if they're going to get them done. If the way they worked with DeGrom, I'm nervous about this ownership because your boy's Judge, right? He's where? Where is he?
He's where he should be.
He's home.
He's home.
Me, I felt DeGrom should be home. I know it didn't happen.
I got you.
But Alonzo McNeil, I don't know. If they get the free agency, it's a weird world.
Well, they shouldn't. And listen, that's something, believe it or not, this is, as we were navigating the early part of the Judge stuff, opening day, we were out there, we know the details dropped, Sweeney told us on the air, contract divulged, blah, 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 Judge not happy, everybody ripping Cashman, including us, for being so brazen and so arrogant to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And really, shortly thereafter, as we took the pulse of the Judge stuff, seemingly every week here on The Fan, all of us did, all the shows, we're like, you know, maybe the Mets should kind of look at this and say, Pete, how about we preemptively avoid this nonsense and get you locked up a little bit? Now, he's a free agent in 2025. I think it's 25 as well. You've got a little time. I'm not saying you need to do it this week, but that's something the Mets, first of all, you might save yourself $30, $40 million,
oh,
and maybe more
will.
Importantly, not let another star leave.
You definitely will save yourself a lot of money because Pete Alonzo, who's 26?
27.
27
now? 28.
He just turned 28. He's an ARB2 now. You just, like, if you're going to give me $30 million now, okay. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. I'll take 28. Seriously.
And he loves being a Met, too.
Instead of waiting.
You can feed on that energy. He loves it here.
Instead of waiting two more years to go make, you know, 35,
mm-hmm.
right? Why? Of course you do that. That's what the Braves do. It's what a lot of teams have started to do. The Met, New York, for whatever reason, hasn't embraced it, either team. I don't think ever. I'm trying to think
Severino and Hicks, the Yankees did that. And, you know, one drives us nuts and the other is confounding because he's always hurt. But I like Sevy.
But think of those deals. I mean,
yeah, it was $40 for Severino and I think 70 for Hicks.
Yeah,
nothing
crazy.
You.
It's not, you know, $200 to $100-something million deal.
No, I got you. And it is 2025 for Alonzo, as we thought, free agency. All right. How about Charlie and Lindenhurst? What's up, Charlie?
Hey guys, good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, pal.
I just want to touch base about Aaron Judge coming back. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm happy he's back, but I haven't heard anyone speak about this in quite a while, or if at all. When Judge is up at bat, he's 6'7", 6'7½, whatever. A lot of times it's very disappointing on strike three, but even strike one or strike two, and you see it on the replay.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that it's below the strike zone, well below his knees. And if we're seeing it as fans on our televisions, isn't there something that to do with MLB officiating? That's all I got, guys. Happy.
We appreciate your call. Look, they get graded, obviously, the umpires, but we don't ever see those grades.
Impacts their postseason availability, so you kind
of
know who.
But we don't ever see it. And it's like, it's not something like, oh, I know. Well, some guys, you're like, oh, this guy's terrible behind the dish. Like some of those guys, you know. But most of them that you don't, they're anonymous. And, yeah, they may not be graded high enough to then, you know, ump in the postseason. But does that even matter? Like there's no accountability from our standpoint for those things. And but this is why there's been this push for robot umpires, or at least this experiment with it in the what do they do that in? This what league do they do that those experiments?
One of the independents. They usually mess around with the independent league.
Yeah, it's not the minors, but I can't remember. It's one of those
independent, not affiliation.
And so the reason that's coming is because of exactly what you're talking about. It's so hard for bigger or smaller players to have real strike zones, and umps get stuck in their mind what they see on a daily consistent basis, and they think it's a strike. And for Aaron Judge, who's 4 inches taller than most of the tallest players in the game, it's unfair to him.
Yeah, and it's been documented. Nobody more adversely affected with the low strike over the last couple of years than Aaron Judge. I mean, there's data, there's graphs on it. You could actually see where it's not even dots, because it's like one big dark. If it was just dots, it would kind of suggest that it was intermittent, but it's just like one, I don't know how to describe it, one thick blue streak below the strike zone because he gets crushed with it all the time. Teddy's in Whitestone. Teddy's on the Fan with Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Ted?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hello, good. Teddy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Teddy, can you hear us, Teddy?
Yes, sir.
All right,
Teddy,
you.
Can you hear us, Ted? Is this Ted?
Yes, I can.
Right. Is this Teddy?
This is Teddy, live from New York City.
All right, you earned it. There, go ahead, Teddy.
Listen, I'm a very exciting Met fan right now, but I need three moves, right? Stenja to the rotation. I need my boy Robertson from the Yankees and Phillies in the bullpen, and I need to sign Nimmo. Get those three things. Our pitching staff, hear me out.
I got you.
Scherzer, Verlanda, Quintana, Stenja, Carrasco, Peterson, McGill.
Yep. Depth. Great depth.
Bullpen, Diaz, Robertson, Raleigh, Curtis, Tacito,
yep.
Brigham, Woods, Riddings, who we got from the Yankees, and
Soka. Yeah.
The very 102 miles an hour. Good pitcher. I'm very excited about the pitching. And one more thing, the starting lineup, getting Nemo. Nemo, Marte, McNeil, Alonzo, Lindor, Vogelback, Alvarez, Batty, please make the team this year, and Canna. What do you think?
I think that that's a team that's going to lose a lot of low-scoring games. That's what I think. Honestly, that's what
Philly,
I think.
The hitting's not enough.
Is it better than the Padres or the Braves or the Phillies or the Dodgers?
Wow.
It's not even close.
Here's the key. Alvarez and Batty got to show some promise.
Well, now that's different. Now, that I could get behind there, Teddy. Thanks for the call there, bud. If those guys really are what the Mets believe they are, what many people, you know, objectively based around the game believe that they are, then it's a different conversation.
But
I don't know until you see it. And I hope it is, because I've got high hopes for both. You know, I love Beatty. I love swing.
Exactly.
Love it.
We can talk it all we want. We can speculate all we want. We can say in double, triple A, they did X, Y, and Z. The pitching in double and triple A is significantly inferior, unless you're getting a rehab start from one of these studs, significantly inferior than what they're going to see in the major league level. So, and we see it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you were. You come up, you might have a couple of pops, but eventually you're going to regress and then have to build back from the bottom to get to where, you know, you're ultimately a consistent MLB player.
They're going to figure out your weakness.
Yeah, of course.
And almost every guy in every rotation around baseball, if you are susceptible to soft in a way, say as a righty, so, you know, soft on the corner toward the first baseline, in double A, triple A, they might hit it one out of three or four times. You spin on it. It just changed. In the majors, they are just banging that spot left and right. And if you don't do anything about it, you're hitting 190. You know, and that's one of the big problems here. And I just don't, and I'm not trying to be negative. This applies to the Yankees as well. That's why, as much as we hope Volpe and Peraza and these other kids are the real deal, I heard for years Clint Frazier, the best bat speed since Gary Sheffield. It was terrible. Yankees gave him multiple chances to win the outfield spot. And he hit 170 out of the chute the first 2 months of the season. Like, bat speed, like all these scouting reports. I need to see it. I do think that these... I don't know about Vientos as much. I haven't yet really come up with a firm conclusion with him yet, negatively or positively.
We haven't really seen him.
No, exactly. That's why I kind of look at the mechanics of these swings before I go nuts. I really do think that Alvarez and Beatty are going to be good. Gerard's in Lindenhurst. What's up, Gerard? How you doing today?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
All's good.
Hey, question. Kind of to feed off of that other guy's analogy with the NFL changing the game up, getting guys to hit singles. Shouldn't they get rid of the shift, get rid of that? Guys start hitting for average.
The shift is gone, right?
So you can't drop that word, but I got to bounce you there. But I think the premise is received there. But I don't think it's going to change as much as a lot of people think. Like, you're not going to suddenly have 33 Rod Carews around Major League Baseball hitting 339. The guys who hit the other way with proficiency will hit, you know, the 290s and the 304s and the 312s, and in some cases for a select few, a little higher. I do think guys like Rizzo, even a guy like Alonzo, guys who are pretty adept at with power and also left to right field, you know, proficiency. I think you'll see 15, 20 points on those averages.
Give me your ceiling on Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo.
Sans shift.
Waste my time with Joey Sans Gallo.
Sans shift. What is Joey Gallo hitting at his best? 210?
A little higher than that. I would say he's probably about a 235, 238 hitter. Right around there. Still strike out a ton, though. You're not going to shift the catcher. You're going to shift the other guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.